It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hello, hello. Happy Monday, Golden Knights fans. Welcome to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. I'm Jamie Hirsch, along with the VGK insider, Gary Lawless. Hi, Gary. A little day off for the team yesterday. Did you have a nice afternoon?
Not bad, James. How about you? What did you do? I bet you went and watched Little League Baseball.
You know. Yes. My son plays for Summerlin South Little League. Little shout out to them. And, of course, it's always something with that. But, yeah, we're back to the hockey rink today and happy to be here. Got the back-to-back defending cup champion Florida Panthers in town tonight for what should be a good one. This is an easy one, I can imagine, for players on both sides to get up for.
Yeah, sure. These are two teams that have measured themselves. They've measured against one another, to see, for Florida, Vegas knocked them out
right.
The year Vegas won the cup. And that told Florida a lot about what they needed to do to their team. They went and made some great adjustments, and they won the cup the next year, and then of course last year again. And they are banged up and do not look like the team that lifted the Stanley Cup last June. They're 7-7-1, right at 500 at this point in the season. They're missing their number one player, Sasha Barkov.
And probably their number two player, right? Matthew Tkachuk.
He's right up there for sure. I think, Reinhart, Bennett, Verhaeghe, Tkachuk, all important guys, all coming after Barkov. Barkov is head and shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
The most important guy there. So, my guess is Bill Zito and Paul Maurice are saying to one another, let's tread water until we get Matthew back sometime after Christmas. Barkov is a different story. They don't know when he is going to be ready. And my guess is that they'll have to make a decision at some point in time to put him on season-ending LTR. That means he couldn't play at all.
Yeah.
In regular season or playoffs.
That's a tough call.
Or they just kind of, hope that they can make the playoffs and he could join them in the playoffs. Mm. And what would he look like at that time after after the injury he suffered? So a bit of a wait and see game for the Panthers, and or maybe they know now and they just haven't tipped their hand. Who knows, right?
Yeah, well, no rush at this point, I guess. But it's not just those two players we mentioned either. Dmitry Kulikov out relatively long term. Tomasz Noshik also out for a few months. Jonah Gadjevich as well. So, we talk a lot about the Golden Knights struggling with injuries. They're certainly missing Mark Stone, certainly missing Aiden Hill. William Karlsson did not play the second or third period, but it's a good reminder that they're not alone and there are other really good teams out there that we fully expect around the hockey world to be in that playoff conversation that might have terrible starts like the Panthers. In fact, only Columbus and Buffalo have fewer points in the Eastern Conference right now than the Florida Panthers. But I would think that they're still going to be in the playoffs, don't you?
Well, they're within striking distance right now, and that's what they'll have to, again, I think they have to tread water until they get some of those players back. But, it's what do they have right now? They have 15 points. They're 3 points out of a wild card spot.
Right. So, it's just everyone's a logjam in the Eastern Conference for sure.
Yeah.
But do you subscribe to the kind of American Thanksgiving belief that if you're in a playoff spot, you should be able to hold on to that by that point of the season?
80% of the teams that are in the playoffs at that date, right middle of November, actually, they stay in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it is with the 3-point games, it's hard to climb back in. So, you look at Colorado, they have a point in every game but one this year,
right?
Which is really quite astounding, and that's why they're all alone in first place in the NHL, really clicking along right now. They have 25 points, which is the most in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Anaheim has 23. That's what happens when you're in 7 in a row.
Right.
And what a weekend for them. They came in and beat Vegas and then beat the Winnipeg Jets. Flew home and then and handled the Jets
4-1
at the Duck Pond. Yeah, Winnipeg at the end of a California swing, but Anaheim at back-to-back situation. So I was super impressed with Leo Carlson on Saturday night. I just, you know, I think he had 45 points last year. He's already at 25. He plays 200-foot game. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, far and away their number one center.
Yeah.
It was interesting on Mason McTavish. He held out and wanted a different deal. He eventually got came to terms with Pat Verbeek. But for me, I was kind of looking at that one, kind of wondering, why is this so difficult? Like, clearly Verbeek is saying, you know, you're our second line center and you're never going to be more than that. Mm. So I'm not paying you franchise guy money. Mm-hmm. So, they've got three players, young players, more than three, but three that are kind of like franchise type players. Jackson Lacombe, a franchise defenseman. The aforementioned Leo Carlson, the franchise center, and that Beckett Seneca, he is a special player as well. He didn't jump off the page against Vegas, but I've been watching him a little bit. He's been excellent as well. And then you got Cutter Gauthier, so
right.
They got some good young players there. And you know, they're in the process of kind of announcing themselves to the rest of the Pacific Division that,
for sure,
you know, we're going to be a problem here. We're going to be tough to handle.
Yeah, and probably not just this year. With that youth, they will be there
for a long time
to come.
I'm not sure their window is open yet. Mm. You know, they might say to me, why not?
Yeah, right.
We're in first place.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think there's probably a little bit more development to go there. But the rest of the conference, the division and the Western Conference, is probably looking at Anaheim and thinking, we're not too far off from having that being a team we have to go through.
Right. Yeah. Well, Leo Carlson was just named the third star of last week across the NHL. Connor Bedard, the second star of the week, and Nathan MacKinnon, who leads everybody with 29 points right now to start the season. A huge reason why the Colorado Avalanche are off to such a ridiculous start. We'll go more around the NHL a bit later, but want to bring it back to Golden Knights-centric talk right now and just recap the homestand, because this is the longest homestand of the season. We've got a nice 2-week stretch ultimately here, spanning 6 games, and it has not gone according to plan. Golden Knights, traditionally a very good home team, and this has been a bit of a struggle. They are just 1-2-1 on the current homestand, and still a couple of games to change that with the Panthers in town tonight and the Islanders here to wrap up the homestand on Thursday. But you know, they talked a lot about how we've scored. Bruce Cassidy's saying we've scored a lot of goals. So on paper, you might not think offense has been a problem, but that is one of the underlying issues they've talked a lot about addressing lately. The need for secondary scoring, certainly the power play. It was good to see them strike on the advantage on Saturday night against Anaheim, but overall, that power play has gone a bit cold. So Gary, how do you, if you are the coach, if you're in that room, what are you saying to kind of keep the spirits up and try to continue to solve these offensive struggles?
You know, that this is a really interesting time for Bruce Cassidy, because it's really early on. The players can look at you and go, we've lost 3 games in regulation.
Right.
Let's just
chill out.
Let's slow down for a minute. That being said, you know, against Utah, they had that. Sorry, not Utah. I apologize. Against Tampa, they had. They were very good against Detroit. 1-1-0. Mm-hmm. Against Tampa, they had a fantastic first period.
Oh yeah.
And then the second and third were, you know, really disturbing. You know, it was not what you expect from the Vegas Golden Knights, below their standard. And then, you know, I thought they were okay in the first period against Anaheim. It was 1-1 after 20. Mm-hmm. Second period was difficult to watch. And then the third period, they were dynamite.
Right.
So, and then in overtime, they were fantastic, except for
the very end.
Except for the play that cost them the winning goal. Mm. And if Barbashev or Dorfiev or Hurdle, somebody else, and there was one other really good chance, 4 really good chances in overtime. If one of those guys cashes, we're probably having a different conversation.
Yes.
So, you know, you got to be very careful. I think for Kelly McCrimmon, you're looking at your roster right now and you're thinking, okay, where are our weaknesses? Or are, you know, do I need to give it a little time? Some of the players that are struggling are veterans. Mm. So you always have to be assessing your team, but you don't ever want to overreact. And, it, you know, that's the general manager has to find a way, number one, not to just see the warts. That's something that, you know, you watch a player over and over again, and sometimes you stop seeing the good stuff they're doing, and you're focusing on the issues that they're struggling with. You got to guard against that, and, you know, same with the coach, roster construction, all of these things. You know, this was a carefully executed plan that got Vegas to a roster that many thought was one of the very best in the NHL. I think it was really hard to measure how much they were going to miss Petrangelo's leadership. And when you think about it, like, they lost Alec Martinez the year before.
Right.
A big-time leader in the dressing room. I think that was covered up by Petrangelo to a certain degree because, you know, he could really do it all. Mm-hmm. He could play, he could defend, he could create offense, and he was a guy that could, you know, that could mediate with Bruce Cassidy. Bruce, there's no secret. Bruce is very competitive, and he has said a number of times, sometimes I let the competitor in me get the best of me. Well, Petrangelo was a guy that could give a little pushback. And I don't know if they have that voice right now. It may be developing. So that will be, you know, there's a lot going on, and you want to be careful not to overreact. And they're second place in the division.
Right.
A lot of teams would be really happy to be where they are. So, and then, yeah, that's kind of got long-winded here. Shocker. The first period against Tampa was so good, and the third period against Anaheim was so good. You might want to look at that and go, we've got it here. We've got what we need. We have to find a way to play that way a little more consistently. You know, the fact that they have so many guys that are, that have not produced. They've got a lot of, Jeremy Luzon and Caden Korzak have 3 points each on the defense.
Right.
They're tied for second behind Shea Theodore.
Yeah.
Now, Hanifin hasn't played a lot already. He's got 2 points real quickly. And then you've got, you know, up front, you've got a whole bunch of players that are stuck at one or zero goals or, yep, or one assist or, you know, 2 points, that sort of thing. They've got to start to get some production from those other players. Because, you know, if you're going to rely on 4 or 5 players every night, that's not enough.
You know,
and offensively, Barbashev, Roland, Eichel, 22 points, Marner, 18 points, Dorofy of 11, and Hurdle has 11 as well. And then after that, you know, we get into a lot of ones and twos.
Right, yeah, so, big drop-off.
Yeah.
And they know that. That's been the message in the room for the past week or so. Secondary scoring needs to start coming. We saw some of that beautiful feed from William Karlsson onto the stick of Brett Howden that resulted in the Golden Knights' first goal of the game on Saturday against Anaheim. It was Howden's third of the season. As I mentioned earlier, William Karlsson did not return in the second period or beyond, and so we're hoping to possibly get an update on his status as we plan to hear from the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, here a bit later in the show. So stay tuned for that, because I'm sure he'll be asked about that, as well as his thoughts on the Panthers and possible line changes, maybe power play changes. A lot kind of up in the air tonight as we get set for this 5th of 6 games on this homestand.
Bruce Cassidy, we can confirm he has confirmed that William Karlsson will not play.
We don't
have the audio yet, but there's
some
stuff on Twitter that is telling us what's going on there.
All right.
So no William tonight, and Bruce also confirmed it'll be Carl Lindbaum in goal tonight.
There you go. So the young, what is this, his 4th NHL start he'll be making, still looking for that first NHL win. He's played pretty well in his short time up here at the NHL level, so we'll see what he brings to the table, because the last time they faced this Panthers team was definitely, without question, their worst game of the season. So I don't even know, do you go back and watch that game? Or do you just say, yeah, we know that was ugly, we're not even going to look at it, let's move forward and take other lessons?
You know, just to lead on Petrangelo one more time, and one of the things he used to always say that I loved this saying, he said, we're honest but positive. So, you know, the players would be honest about how they're playing. Mm. They would talk about it. And then they would, you know, look for the positive and move on to that and not focus on the positive, but end on a positive because it's 82 games.
Right.
You know, if you're going to beat up on yourself all the time, it's well, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
The rink has to be a fun place. You have to like coming to the facility. You have to like coming to practice and going to games. So being too hard on themselves right now, not a good idea. So, right. No, I would not go watch the Florida game.
Erase it. Lose the tape.
I don't know about that, but they know what they did wrong. So they know what they need to correct from. They just weren't. They weren't ready to go that night.
No, they certainly weren't. Well, we will turn the page as well and get to much more around the NHL and in that VGK locker room, including hearing from the head coach in a bit. We're going to take a quick break right now. But before we do, make sure that you're ready to score big on Golden Knights style this season. You can check out the Arsenal at City National Arena, the Armory at T-Mobile Arena, or VegasTeamStore.com for all the VGK gear. Suit up, stand out, and show your pride. Don't forget to check out at VGK Gear on Instagram and X for the latest drops so you can show your Golden Knights spirit. We'll be right back.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I feel good.
Hey, Golden Knights fans, night up your vehicle with a Vegas Golden Knights license plate. Show your spirit for the Golden Knights no matter where you go. Become the ultimate fan and grab your new license plate today. Just visit dmvnv.com/plates to show your pride. Gary, I got to say, that was one of my first purchases when I moved to Las Vegas about a year ago, is go register the car at the DMV, get that VGK license plate. I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how many there are rolling around town, and it's a real cool way to show your fandom.
Yeah, it's a special place too, and I would say, having gone all around the U.S. and you can speak to Canada as well, like, I don't know that there's another market where they brand as well as they do here. Like, Vegas is the team. I know we've got the Raiders, we're gonna get MLB, we've got the Aces, but you see more Golden Knights stuff driving around town, flags, bumper stickers, license plates, than any media market. I'm from Minnesota. You don't even see Wild stuff. They call themselves the state of hockey. You don't see Wild stuff everywhere like you do here.
Yeah, well, you know, this city was denied professional sports for a long time. Then they got the Aces, then they got the Golden Knights, then the Raiders. But the Golden Knights really captured the imagination of the state of Nevada, and it's been a glorious run here so far. So it's pretty easy to get on board and be a fan.
Yeah, and here we are, season 9 of the residency in Las Vegas, and a decent start to the season. As we mentioned, the Golden Knights sit in second place right now, 14 games into the new season, and looking to build on that even more with 2 games left to go on the homestand, including tonight against the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. So let's, I guess, dive into a little bit of the special teams battle, because that has been a sore subject of late for the Golden Knights, but they did break through, went 1-for-3 against Anaheim on Saturday, and even just to get one, you got to imagine that that relieves a lot of the pressure that some of those guys were starting to feel.
For sure, you know, and I thought they had a bunch of chances, so yeah, I've been, you know, thinking from above, what would you do different, and I'm not sure I would, like, with the personnel they have right now, I'm not sure I would do anything different, but it does take a while. Like, the power play was built with Mark Stone on the goal.
Right.
And he's not available. And, you know, Mitch is a fantastic player, but he's never really played in that spot. So he's trying to learn it and figure it out. And, you know, you uncovered the nugget last week that he's been leaning on Mark Stone to get information and have Mark try and support him. But, you know, until they get Stone back, I don't expect it to look the same. Well, it won't look the same literally, but I also don't expect it to have, you know, the same kind of success as they did when Mark was healthy. Not to say it can't be effective, because I think it can be, and maybe we saw the start of that on Saturday night, but yeah, Mark Stone's a big piece of it.
He sure is. And you know who I feel badly for, but in a positive way, because I think he's about to really break out, is Tomas Hertl. He has been fantastic lately. this last game especially, I thought he stood out more than any other player on the ice. I think he had 8 shots on net and plenty more shot attempts. He has actually been a bit snake bitten despite his 5 goals already on the season, but he's a big guy on the power play as well. He led this team, set a new franchise record for power play goals in a season just last year, and he's had his looks. It just hasn't been working. I don't know if other penalty kills have sniffed out that he's such a threat, so they've just not allowed him to get a clean shot off or what, but he's a guy that I think is ready to break out.
Well, when Stone is down low, it's hard to just focus on Hurdle because Mark can lock out and make a play from there
right,
really, really effectively. And not just the shot. He can come out, look, and see, okay, I can stuff it in, or I can go seam to Pavel Dorofeev.
Yes.
And Mark's, you know, like they were proven they had a real, real good connection there.
Automatic.
So I think teams have tried to take Hurdle away. Now that his job is to adjust a little bit and figure out what he can do to, you know, to get around what the opposition is doing. And I agree with you. I thought he was a beast on Saturday night. Deserved more than he got.
Yeah. I will have the privilege of chatting with him before the game tonight, so make sure to watch the pregame show on the spot and Scripps Sports so that you can tune in and get all set. That starts at 6:30 local time here in Vegas, and the 7 o'clock puck drop between the Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. How about the line shuffling? You kind of mentioned it earlier, Bruce Cassidy, the ultimate competitor. Bit of a short leash in terms of what he allows for guys to settle in with their line combos. If things start to go sideways, we see the line shuffling enter into kind of his coaching style. And he's spoken about how that, you know, his mentality is just trying to get guys going. Or what did he say the other day? He said lines are often like a marriage. You need to have communication. Sometimes you need to give and take. It's a bit of a negotiation to get to the ultimate goal. And I thought that was a great little one-liner
really?
There.
Really? Is that the way it goes at your house? Because that's not the way it goes at my house.
Well, currently, yes. a little bit more of a yes, dear approach at your house.
Yep.
Well, I thought that was interesting, though, because you're right. I mean, we like to think of all these guys as best buddies and teammates. But the reality is, there's going to be, you know, some miscommunication or some, you know, misunderstanding of where, what the best solution is when you're on a line over the course of an 82-game schedule. My point in saying all of this is that we've seen different line combinations, and especially with William Karlsson out, it's going to be interesting to see who draws in, where that player fits in. And to be honest, they're already, without Mark Stone, so the options are somewhat limited, Gary.
Yeah, it makes it difficult. And, you know, tonight you've got Keegan Kolesar playing on the third line and Alexander Holtz on the fourth, according to the line rushes that we saw this morning. So right away, you know, are those guys miscast in those roles? I'm not sure, but it's certainly different than where we've seen Holtz higher in the lineup, and we've most often seen Kolesar on the fourth line. So, yeah, I think it makes it hard on the coach and hard on the players, too, because you know, if you don't play with somebody very often and then you go out there together, you know, there are certain things that you know your line mate is, where he's going to be, what he's going to be doing.
Right.
That chemistry is not automatic sometimes.
Yeah, no, it is not. And we'll see if they can kind of quickly get everyone up to speed and play the same game tonight, because they've got a quality opponent despite the Panthers' record. They know that they're still the team to beat, really, around the NHL. Until you're knocked off, my thinking is the defending champ is always the team to beat in the next season. And so that is still the case for the Florida Panthers. We'll see what they bring tonight. Decor pairs. That's another thing that we have seen change a bit. Korzak sounds like he is going to go up with Hanifin. Do you like that, given the fact that Hanifin has that offensive part of his game and Korzak is the only blue liner to score a goal and added another on Saturday?
Well, I think Caden Korzak has the ability to be a top four defenseman in the NHL, so maybe it's arriving a little sooner. He can really skate. He's a big guy. He doesn't, you know, his physicality isn't overpowering, but he is physical. He can defend. No, I like the pairing for sure. And we'll see how White Cloud and Lauzon fare together. But, yeah, Caden Korzak, he's a big part of the future here. He's been, And I think he's been excellent all season. So maybe he's earned the promotion.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you seen him develop over the years? Because, you know, he's been around. He was a draft pick all the way back in 2019. So kind of a homegrown talent, which is a bit of a rarity in this organization until recently. How have you noticed him taking that next step after playing 40 games last year?
Well, he's just way more confident. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago and said, are you playing your best hockey in the NHL? And he, like, right away, he goes, yeah, for sure. He goes, I feel really good out there. Once you get in the lineup on a regular basis, when you make a mistake, you don't skate to the bench and you're not thinking, does this mean I'm not playing tomorrow night? Right? So you play a little more relaxed and – you know, give yourself the opportunity to not play scared, which is never a good thing in the NHL.
No, he does not look scared at all. No. Again, scored his second goal of the season late in the game against the Anaheim Ducks on Saturday night, a game in which the Golden Knights ultimately fell 4-3 in overtime. We're going to step aside momentarily here and hope to hear from the head coach on his thoughts ahead of tonight's matchup with the Florida Panthers. We've got that and much more as Nighttime at Noon continues right after this.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Can't get enough Knights hockey? The Henderson Silver Knights are on the ice at Lee's Family Forum this season. With ticket options fit for any group, witness the next generation of Golden Knights live. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com to purchase your tickets. Back to the Golden Knights side of things, Bruce Cassidy just met with the media. Let's hear his thoughts ahead of tonight's matchup with Florida.
Good morning.
Any update on Carlson?
Not in tonight. So we'll keep looking at him, see how he is, and have a better answer for you. But I told you the other day that I'd let you know, so he's not in. Or was it him? You asked me about. Yeah, that's right. He's not in tonight.
What are you hoping to see with that different look on the power play unit? It looks like Marner and Theodore more up top. Jack.
A little bit of the pressure Florida presents allows Marner to move a little more. Just a different look. I found the other – just put Marner in Stoney's spot. It worked at times. Other times it didn't. I think the way teams kill has something to do with our game plan. So a little more motion against a high – aggressive, especially teams that push out high. Gives us two players up top, so hopefully handle that a little better. And then get the puck down low once they are running up top. That's what we'd like it to look like tonight. We've had success against LA the first game, and not so much Colorado. We weren't able to do it, so Carolina at times we did. I think we only scored once, Pav, but I thought we had some looks up there where we just didn't finish. So hopefully it creates a little more a support up top. See how that goes.
Howden skated, but not with the main group. Do you expect
he's
him to
in
be available?
Tonight. Oh, yeah, he's playing, yeah.
I guess why was he skating with the other group?
I don't have a good reason for good answer for that.
Said some edginess. Jack's not totally happy. Is that a good thing that there's a bit of attitude around the guys?
He's not happy? What's the matter?
A little bite, like you said, that hasn't been good for a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry too much about Jack. Shows up to play every night. Probably the hardest working guy we got in the room, so. If he's edgy and not happy with his game, well, hopefully it translates where he gets it to where he wants it to be. It's pretty hard to sustain the level he was at to start the year, I think. I think Jack wants to win as much as anybody, so bring that out in the ice. That'd be great. Hopefully pull some guys into the fight with him if that's sort of where it's going. If it's frustration, then that's not necessarily a good thing. We'll try to get to the bottom of that, but I don't know. I think Jack's still very positive on the bench, so I don't see that part of it. Hopefully it's just he wants to get himself going.
Interesting comments and a brief availability with the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, and you know, it's funny, I haven't personally chatted with Jack the past few days, but I'm not surprised to hear Darren Millard ask the question about his edginess because Jack is the ultimate competitor. And again, despite the fact that there's still collecting points as they did on Saturday against Anaheim. They're still second in the division. Despite all that, it isn't going super smoothly offensively for this team overall. So I'm not surprised to hear that Jack might be just a little dissatisfied.
Well, he has really high standards. He wants to win more than anything else, more than collecting points, more than winning the Hart Trophy or Selke or anything else that he might be nominated for. He wants to win the Stanley Cup again. That's what he's about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would imagine that the last three games or last two games are not up to his standard and what he wants from himself and the group. And he shouldn't be shy to voice that. I think that's probably a real good thing.
I agree. A little nastiness, a little snarl can certainly come in handy no matter who you're playing, but especially against a team like the Florida Panthers that have plenty of bite themselves. And Jack, just to kind of catch anyone up there listening who may not know, he was on a tear to start the season, 16 points in the first seven games, and now a little quieter by his standards, four games without a goal and just 3 points in those four games. So we'll look for him.
Just 3 points in those four games.
I know. It's not enough anymore. Well, you got guys like Nathan MacKinnon, like we're talking about. What'd you say? He's on pace for 150 or something?
Yeah, something crazy like
that's
that.
That's insane. Yeah,
on pace for 72 goals. So,
that's insane.
Well, seen a lot of that.
You know, in other news around the division, wanted to quickly mention the Edmonton Oilers as well, because, you know, you talk about a team with high standards, back-to-back Western Conference champions, and they currently sit at 500 right now. Connor McDavid calling out the team and even himself saying, we've been playing flat. We don't have enough energy. We don't have enough emotion. And I'll speak for myself in saying that. So, you know, that's Connor McDavid. That's leadership, certainly. But, you know, they sit there second to last in the division. And here we are entering the midway point of the month of November. What's eating Edmonton?
Remember, they were like this last year too, right? They
went on a terrible, and I think the year before even.
Maybe it was the year, but one of the years they looked like they weren't even going to make the playoffs, and then that they went on a hellacious tear, and ended up playing well into the spring. So I think there's an adrenaline dump when you reach the Stanley Cup final, and it's hard to bounce back from it early on in the year. So now losing 9-1, that probably got their attention. They got Columbus tonight, I think. I'd be surprised if McDavid wasn't all over the score sheet and if the Oilers weren't a lot better. But, you know, sometimes you think you've hit rock bottom and you haven't quite yet, so we'll keep an eye on it.
It was a couple of years ago, I think, when they reached rock bottom in that Heritage Classic or whatever. It was a stadium series, some kind of game against, it was the Battle of Alberta against Calgary, right? And they just got smoked by the Flames, which was an embarrassment, and that was the low point of their season. They went on to go all the way to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in their first of two bids against the Florida Panthers. But that 9-1 thumping that you just mentioned came at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche, who are an absolute wagon right now. What are you seeing out of them?
Well, they haven't been to the final in a couple of years, right? So I think they're a little hungrier at this stage of the season than maybe some other teams. They know that they probably would love to win their division and have home ice, win the conference as well and have home ice heading into the playoffs. I think that would be important for them. MacKinnon is a very special player, and Makar is the best defenseman in the NHL. You know, Mackenzie Blackwood, who's their number one, has been injured. He's back now, but it's been Wedgwood carrying a lot of the load for the Avalanche. So they're a good team. I thought that when Vegas lost to Colorado, I walked out of that game thinking that's the best opponent we've seen all year, and nothing has changed my mind about that.
Yeah. Well, they're certainly continuing to prove that to be true. We'll look around the National Hockey League and other divisions. The Montreal Canadiens, how about that for a surprise start to the season? Are they kind of like the Ducks, where they've been building something for a while, they've had young talent, and now they're just starting to put it all together and take that next step?
I think so, for sure. You know, Nick Suzuki is very good player. Caulfield is dangerous. You know, they've added some really good young defensemen. They're getting good goaltending from Dobish, more so than Montembeau. And, a lot of positivity in Montreal right now. I'm interested to see what they look like in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. I don't love their roster construction. I think they're a little, you know, you have to be simple to win in the playoffs and be willing to grind things out. I'm not sure they can do that.
Yeah, well, time will tell. It is a marathon of a season, not a sprint, and we are just about 14, 15 games into this new campaign, so still a lot of time left to be decided. The Devils and Hurricanes on top of the Metro. We've seen the Hurricanes twice already this season, both here in Las Vegas and out in Carolina, a team that we fully expect to be back in the playoff picture. Vegas has actually played them really well in their two meetings, so a good time to catch the team that still is atop the Metro. But the Devils, I feel like the last 5 years we've said, this could be the year. Mm-hmm. This could be the year. And they fail to see it through. Jack Hughes, you know, unable to stay healthy in some of those seasons. But right now, they are playing very good hockey.
Exciting team to watch. Yeah. You know, Jack and Luke Hughes. I was listening to their game the other day, and it's just – it's not Hughes when they're on the power play together. It's Jack and Luke.
That's
Jack
cute.
To Luke, Luke to Jack. And Devils fans are hoping that they can have Jack to Luke to Quinn.
Oh, my gosh.
In a couple of years.
Vancouver fans, just change the channel now.
that just feels like it's going to happen.
Oh.
Like the fact that the general manager, you know, made Jim Rutherford, he's the president, not the general manager. It's Patrick Alvin is the GM now. But the fact that he kind of made, talked about it out loud was...
Well, he was saying they want to bring Jack and Luke there. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. Never say never in this league.
It's easier to move one contract and one player than two, especially when that player is going to have UFA status.
Absolutely. Well, the Devils are in action tonight in a New York City area battle against the Islanders, one of four games on a relatively light slate across the National Hockey League. Again, the nightcap will be the Golden Knights hosting the Florida Panthers. Let's catch up on another fun event that happened this weekend, the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is traditionally on this night, right? Monday is usually the night that they choose for some reason, and maybe you know why. I don't.
Well, the ceremony's tonight. They had the Hockey Hall of Fame. They had the game last night, Toronto and Carolina, and they introduced the players. But, yeah, no, the induction ceremony is today.
It's still happening.
Frankie Gagnon from RDS Sports and a longtime writer in the Montreal Press was put into the Foster Hewitt journalism wing today. So Frankie's a buddy of mine. Congratulations to him. I think Daryl Ray from the Dallas Stars is also going in on the broadcast side of things. And Daryl's excellent as well. So congratulations to those guys. Pretty good class of players.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Thornton, Zdeno Chara. I just saw a piece on, if you're on Twitter or any social media, TSN, which is one of the national sports networks in Canada. The great Michael Farber did a piece with Zdeno Chara where he, fact or fiction. So fact, you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. Fact.
Wow.
Yeah. Fact, you've played more games on defense than anyone in NHL history. Yes, I did that. Yeah. Fact, you ran an Ironman, like the big one, the complete one, in like 10 hours and whatever. And Zdeno said, a little bit better than that.
Oh, my gosh. So partial fiction. But, that's amazing. Oh, well, yeah, we'll definitely go check that out. He's one of the best, right? Like the classiest guy. Everyone speaks, you know.
40 pull-ups.
Glowingly.
He could do 40 pull-ups uninterrupted.
Gosh. And 6'9". Bruce Cassidy saying the other day that he changed the game just with, you know, net front presence, certainly, but just overall the snarl he played with. I got a chance to catch up with Jeremy Lauzon about the impact that Z had on him as a young guy coming into the league with the Boston Bruins. And at that time, it was also under Bruce Cassidy. So plenty of Golden Knights connections to the guy they call Big Z.
Shane
but
Knighty.
Certainly, yeah. Won a Stanley Cup with our Shane Knighty. Dave Gosher knows him very well from his time covering the Boston Bruins. So all good things coming from every single person I've ever talked to about Zdeno Chara. He seems to be just a true class act and has done so much for the community.
I like the fact that he played physical, played hard, and, you know, fought once in a while.
Yeah.
He could have murdered people, right? You know? And he elected, you know, he wouldn't do that, which...
He was a gentle giant?
Maybe not gentle. I don't know if I would say that, but, you know, just, you know, didn't have that desire or didn't, like, knew, okay, I beat this guy up, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to knock, I don't have to break his eye socket.
Yes, yes.
Right? You know? So, yeah, I like that about Zdeno. And, you know, like, not what you would call smooth, but super effective, right? You know? It's interesting. They asked him, one of the fiction questions was, fact, you played 60 minutes all the entirety of an NHL game. And he said, no, that's fiction. And then Farber said to him, do you think you could? And his response was, yes, I think I could have.
Wow.
Kelly McCrimmon, the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, his brother Brad, he was just a fantastic NHL defenseman. But in junior hockey, in the Memorial Cup final in 1978, the Brandon Wheat Kings, they lost in overtime to the Peterborough Petes. Brad played every minute except for two. He had a two-minute minor. And he played every minute of a number of games that year.
That is unthinkable. Like, we talk about a guy having a 27, 28-minute night now, and we're like, whoo!
Yeah.
How? That's crazy. It was different day and age, I guess, but also just guys that were built different back then. All right, we're going to get another break in here, so stick with us, and we will be right back to wrap it up here on Nighttime at Noon.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I feel good.
Welcome back. Want to learn how to skate like the pros? Curious to see where the Golden Knights practice? Or maybe you want to grab some gear? Stop by and visit City National Arena, located in downtown Summerlin, as the official practice facility of the Vegas Golden Knights. For hours and programming, visit citynationalarena.com to learn more. Back here to wrap up Nighttime at Noon with Gary Lawless, I'm Jamie Hirsch. We've got a good one shaping up tonight between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. That game set to drop the puck just after 7 o'clock Vegas time. And it'll be a special night as we honor all of those who served and have served in the military. It's going to be Military Appreciation Night, a day before Veterans Day, which of course is tomorrow. So thank you to all of you listening who have served, you and your families. We recognize your ultimate sacrifice. All right, Gary, key to the game tonight. I know we're well before puck drop, but if you had one key, what would it be?
It was the same key as I had prior to the game against Anaheim, which was good start, good middle, good end. And they had the good start, they had a terrible middle, and then they had a good end that resulted in a single point. They were good in the third period, one of their best periods of the year, and generated all kinds of opportunities in overtime. And, you know, I think that, you know, they probably, you know, they put themselves in a bad spot with their second period, but they probably thought they deserved better at the end of overtime. Yeah.
Did you just say your key was a good game the entire game?
Yes.
All right. I like it. That's not too much to ask. We've got high standards around here.
I'm saying good. Start, no, I'm not good even saying middle. Great, you know?
Just serviceable.
A little better than that.
Solid.
But, I think that, you know, the complete game is something that teams search for all the time. And, you know, Vegas, listen, if you don't have flashes and you don't show that you can get there, it's too much to ask. But we've seen Vegas. We've seen them be really excellent for 20-minute stretches.
Sure.
So, you know, every team's going to have a lull, and the opponent gets paid too. They're going to push as well. It's limiting the size of those lulls. Mm-hmm. That's how you win games.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were – I think you're right. They not expected but deserved – to win and to get the 2 points the other night because of that third period. They were down 3-1 entering the third period, came back to force overtime, had the bulk of the chances in the extra session for sure, and unfortunately were not able to come away with the extra point, Anaheim taking that from them. But tonight, fresh slate, they're coming up against a team that certainly is not feeling too good about their game either. Florida just 2-2-1 since these two teams met a few weeks ago back in Sunrise, Florida. tonight is the last of a four-game road trip for the Florida Panthers. So, you know, different teams approach that differently, right? But I can imagine there is a sense of, let's just get home already for the Panthers. They haven't been playing well. They're just 1-2 on the trip. So if Vegas can maybe take advantage, get off to a strong start, and dictate play, which is something they were not able to do at all their first meeting, it could be a favorable result.
Yeah, for sure. And I do think that, you know, without having to rehash what happened in the game in Florida, Vegas knows that they didn't give their best. And, I think there should be some real motivation for them on the other side. I would imagine that Florida hates Vegas just like Vegas hates Florida, and mm-hmm. they want to play well tonight.
I got to say, I wear a Vegas Golden Knights hat basically every time I travel. I go to Fort Lauderdale a lot for different reasons, and every time I'm in the airport, I get comments about the Vegas hat because people still, you're right, the Panthers and their fans still hate Vegas because of their first of three straight trips to the Cup Final. They're still salty about that, but it should definitely be a matchup to watch tonight across the NHL schedule. Plenty of games to come throughout the week as well. Actually, after today, Vegas will get kind of an extra day off. They've been in this every other day game cadence for a while now, but they will have a couple of days before their sixth and final game of the homestand, that happening Thursday at T-Mobile Arena against the New York Islanders. And that will end a stretch of 10 games, 8 of which have come against Eastern Conference opponents. Just kind of a weird blip in the schedule, but then they'll get back to going into conference play against the St. Louis Blues on Saturday and Sunday against the Minnesota Wild. So a quick back-to-back road trip to the Midwest, and a lot to look forward to before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's time to kind of, I think the Golden Knights would love to put together a little bit of a win streak, you know. Anaheim, I think, is kind of lucky to have won on Saturday night.
Are they
still
a mirage?
No, they're not a mirage. No, they're not. But I'm not sure that they're an oasis just yet.
In case you don't know what we're talking about, be sure to tune in during intermissions. We've got the wonderful Gary Lawless with us to break down his thoughts around the NHL. And he's got a fun little segment called Mirage or Oasis. So definitely make sure to tune in to Lawless in Order. That'll be at first intermission tonight. We will see you on Scripps Sports for the pregame show starting at 6:30 on television. And, of course, your radio crew will be here to take you all the way up to puck drop as well. Thanks to everyone for listening to Nighttime at Noon. I'm Jamie Hirsch along with Gary Lawless. We hope you have a fantastic Monday. We'll see you tonight for the big game.
Call 830-7070.